Welcome to this podcast episode from the Oxford Dictionary of National Biography. This episode is a life of the Air Force officer, judge, and diplomatist Ulrich Cross. For more on the dictionary's 60,000 biographies, go to oxforddmb.com. Ulrich Cross, 1917 to 2013, Air Force officer, judge, and diplomatist, written by Stephen Bourne. Ulrich Cross was born on the 1st of May 1917 in Port of Spain, Trinidad, the son of Reginald Rufus Cross, a head teacher, and his wife, Maud. One of nine children, at the age of 11, he qualified for a free secondary education scholarship and attended St. Mary's College, Trinidad. At the age of 14, he wrote his name as Flight Lieutenant Cross, DFC, in the flyleaves of two of his schoolbooks. In 1990, he explained in the BBC television programme Here Say, "To me, that was the height of anybody's ambition, to be a flight lieutenant in the Royal Air Force and to get the DFC. Most of my friends thought I was mad." On leaving school, he joined the Trinidad Guardian, where he worked as a copy editor. Cross was working as a civil servant when he decided to volunteer for the RAF. Later, he explained that he enlisted because he was young, adventurous, and idealistic. He said his recruitment enabled him to escape his homeland, where he hated the frustrations and the stultifying nature of colonial society. He also said that in addition to defeating Hitler, for him, the whole idea of being a member of the RAF was romantic. Until 1941, many black colonials from West Africa and the Caribbean who volunteered for the RAF were rejected. But after the Battle of Britain in 1940, the RAF realised they had to move with the times. In 1941, with 250 other Trinidadians, Cross was accepted into the RAF and journeyed to Britain. Of that group, 52 were killed in action. Cross started his training at RAF Cramwell in Lincolnshire. During his training, he learned wireless operation, meteorology, bomb aiming, navigation, and Morse code. After qualifying as a pilot officer, he was assigned to Bomber Command and served as a navigator in 139 Squadron. He was the only West Indian in the squadron, but he recalled that it was very cosmopolitan and included aircrew of many different backgrounds. When the RAF realised that 80% of their bombs were missing their targets, they established a Pathfinder force to drop flares to guide the bombers. Cross joined them, and in 1999 he recalled, "I did 80 operational flights over Germany, including 21 to Berlin. When the flak starts coming at you, and you are coned in a searchlight, you feel fear. But your job is to get to the target on time. And that is what you are preoccupied with." He was almost killed when enemy flak destroyed one of his plane's two engines, and the plane crash-landed. He said, "We flew home over the whole of Germany on one engine at just 7,000 feet at a reduced speed. In 1943, Cross made an appearance in the short information film West Indies Calling with the Jamaican broadcaster Una Marson and Trinidadian welfare officer Leary Constantine. This was produced by the Ministry of Information to show how West Indians in Britain were involved in the war effort. In 1944, Cross was awarded both the Distinguished Flying Cross and the Distinguished Service Order. The London-based League of Coloured Peoples notes in one of its newsletters that these awards were a joy to every West Indian heart. The League also informed its readers that Cross had been appointed the first liaison officer for West Indians in the RAF. With Joan Woodford, Cross had a daughter, Susan, born in 1945. She went on to become Lady Hollick, a television producer and charity organiser. He also had a son, Richard Finch, later an educator. In 1949, he married Jasmine Angela Thomas. The marriage was dissolved, and in 1959, he married Anne Carol Whittingham, with whom he had a daughter, Nicola. After the war, Cross studied law and was called to the bar by the Middle Temple in 1949. He later became a talks producer with BBC Radio from 1953 to 1957. After Ghana became independent in 1957, he went there to work in the Attorney General's office, and then, in 1960, to West Cameroon as senior Crown Counsel and Attorney General. In 1967, he became a High Court judge in Tanzania, a post he then took up in Trinidad in 1971. He served as High Commissioner for Trinidad and Tobago in the UK from 1990 to 1993. In 2011, Cross received the Order of the Republic of Trinidad and Tobago, the nation's highest award. He died on the 4th of October 2013 at his home in Port of Spain, Trinidad, where in retirement he had been living with his daughter, Nicola. He was survived by all three children. Reflecting on his experiences of wartime Britain in 1998, Cross said, "The strange thing is that when you're really young, you feel immortal. That may well be a defense mechanism, but you do feel immortal. And you knew that obviously the possibility existed that every time you got up in an aeroplane and flew over Germany, you wouldn't come back. But the young feel they will live forever. And I felt I was doing the right thing in trying to stop Hitler. You're young, this was a tremendous adventure, and you were doing it for the right reasons." Thank you for listening to this life of the Air Force officer, judge, and diplomatist Ulrich Cross from the Oxford Dictionary of National Biography. To read on or to listen to further episodes in our biography podcast, go to oxforddmb.com. Welcome to this podcast episode from the Oxford Dictionary of National Biography. This episode is a life of the racing driver, Graham Hill. For more on the dictionary's 60,000 biographies, go to oxforddmb.com. Graham Hill, 1929 to 1975, racing motorist, written by Colin Dryden. Graham Hill was born at Hampstead, London, on the 15th of February 1929, one of the two sons of Norman Herbert Devereux Hill, stockbroker, and his wife, Constance Mary Philp. He was educated at a technical college in Hendon, where he and the property millionaire Harry Hyams were picked out as the two boys least likely to succeed. Undeterred, Hill left at 16 for a five-year apprenticeship with Smiths, the instrument makers. In the early 1950s, rowing was his main sporting interest, and he would later carry the London Rowing Club's dark blue and white colours round the world on his racing helmet. He served in the Royal Navy in 1950 to 1952. Hill was launched on his unique motor racing career by pure chance. In 1953, with no idea what he was going to do with his life, his eye was caught by a magazine offer of laps in a racing car at the Brands Hatch circuit for 5 shillings a time. The most important pound he ever spent enabled him to have 4 laps and a chance meeting with Colin Chapman, who was starting the Lotus Car Company at Hornsey. Hill became a mechanic there for £1 a day. In 1957, Hill was taken on as a driver, and the following year, Lotus and Hill entered their first Formula One Grand Prix at Monaco. Disappointed with 2 unsuccessful years, Hill told Chapman he was joining BRM for the 1960 season. He had a little more success with the Bourne team, scoring 7 points in 2 seasons. But 1962 was the first of his momentous years, and was mainly spent dueling with Jim Clark, a rising star with the Lotus Climax team, which Hill had left. Hill won his first Grand Prix in the Netherlands with the BRM P57, and was also first in Germany and Italy. As Clark had won the Belgian, British, and American races, everything depended on the race in South Africa. Hill won and became world champion, the first British driver to do so in an all-British car. For the next 3 years, Hill had to be content with being runner-up, to Jim Clark in 1963, to John Surtees with Ferrari in 1964, by 1 point, and to Clark again in 1965. The 1966 Formula One season came with a change from 1.5-litre to 3-litre engines, which caught out most teams. BRM was no exception, and for a former world champion, Hill had a mediocre year, with 17 championship points. This included a win at Indianapolis, later to be an element in his Triple Crown. It was a controversial race, which began with a 16-car crash in the opening seconds, but eventually Hill was confirmed as the winner, the first rookie in 40 years. Tired of waiting for the fast but erratic H16 BRM engine to achieve its potential, Hill rejoined Lotus for the 1967 Grand Prix season as equal number one driver with Jim Clark. It was a wise move because this was the year of the Lotus 49, the first car to use the Ford Cosworth DFV V8 engine that was to win 155 Grand Épreuves by 1984. Hill led for the first 10 laps of the Dutch Grand Prix, but his race ended when the timing gear failed on the brand new engine. Clark went on to win, but Dennis Hume took the championship title that year with his Brabham Repco. The 1968 season tested Hill's strength of character to the full after Jim Clark's shocking death during a Formula 2 race in April. By the last race in Mexico, Hill, Stewart, or Hume could have become the champion. Both of Hill's rivals had mechanical misfortunes. Hill won the race and became world champion for the second time. Hill won his last Grand Prix in 1969, inevitably at Monaco. His luck ran out that autumn in the American Grand Prix at Watkins Glen. A crash, caused by a puncture, shattered his leg so badly that surgeons feared he would never walk again without a stick. Despite intense pain, Hill finished in sixth place the following January in the South African race, driving a Rob Walker Locus Ford 49C. His many admirers throughout the world felt that he had made his point and should now retire, a veteran at 40 years old. Hill scored 7 points that season, and although he was driving Brabham Fords in 1971 and 1972, Shadow Fords in 1973, and Lola Fords in 1974 and 1975, before forming his own Embassy Hill team, his Grand Prix racing career was in sad decline. But in 1972, he shared the winning car with Henri Pescarolo at Le Mans. Hill's 10th attempt at the 24-hour endurance classic made him the only driver to achieve the triple crown of the Formula One World Championship, Indianapolis, and Le Mans. He retired as a driver in 1975, the most experienced in Grand Prix history, having competed in 176 races, of which he won 14. He was also second 15 times and took 13 pole positions. He then embarked on a second career as a team manager and elder statesman of motor racing. He was appointed OBE in 1968 and made a Freeman of the City of London in 1974. An accomplished after-dinner speaker, he was given the Guild of Professional Toastmasters Award in 1971. He had married Betty Pauline in 1955, daughter of Bertie Shubrook, a compositor's assistant on the Times. They had two daughters and a son. Hill was killed, with other members of his team, on the 29th of November 1975, in a flying accident in Hertfordshire, when returning to Elstree from testing in France. He was a highly experienced pilot, and the cause of the crash was not established. In his memory, £112,000 was raised for the National Orthopaedic Hospital at Stanmore, Middlesex, where he had been treated in 1969. His son, Damon Graham Devereux Hill, won the Drivers' World Championship in 1996. Every inch the popular conception of the racing driver, with an engaging, buccaneering manner, Graham Hill was at ease in any walk of life and a superb ambassador for motor racing. As the Prince of Wales wrote in the foreword to the book Graham, his zest for life was intoxicating, and with it went a memorable sense of humour. Thank you for listening to this life of the racing motorist Graham Hill from the Oxford Dictionary of National Biography. To read on or to listen to further episodes in our biography podcast, go to oxforddnb.com.